What's up, everybody? My name is Matt, and this is the Nintendo Fever Podcast, episode number 72. And as always, I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Holly. Holly, how are you doing this week? And I'm putting the keyboard very far in front of me.
I am doing great. My recording is still going.
That's good. That's a positive.
We've got a good podcast. No technical problems yet, sorta.
Fingers crossed.
Right.
Oh, you didn't answer right away, and I instantly got scared. Very scary
stuff.
Our
internet connection.
I think it's my internet connection, too, is the thing. Like, for some reason, it's playing games with our hearts. I don't know why that is.
Our poor delicate hearts.
Yes, but we have a really fun show planned for this week. There's going to be a lot of discussion about some listener questions when it comes to the NX. We're going to talk about games that have come out. We're going to talk about games that we've been playing. We're going to talk about some Pokemon stuff. Like, we're just going to have a fun-filled show. We're going to try and kind of keep it to our normal kind of outlay and style that we like to kind of do here on the Nintendo Fever Podcast. And I swear I'm not preoccupied while watching football. That is not happening, I promise.
Football is there's nothing like Olympics wise going on with football right now, is there?
Nope, it's the preseason, which means the games don't count and the people try less, but I still love to watch football.
Oh, come on, the Olympics.
I haven't watched a lot of those either, honestly. I actually don't watch a lot of the Olympics. I mean, I hear the names and I see the highlights every once in a while, but I don't know. Like, I know it's supposed to be like national type pride thing for the Olympics, but I don't know if I'm just like jaded, like they don't even care anyways, whatever. I don't know what it is, but there's something about it that I just don't latch onto when it comes to the Olympics. Maybe if they had Olympic esports, then I could watch.
Another topic for another time, maybe.
In four years, when we
can actually prepare for it and make it relevant.
We better have an episode in 4 years about these. I mean, if we're still doing this in 4 years, we better be able to talk about Olympic esports. But yeah, let's go ahead and get down to the nitty gritty of the show and let's talk about Pokemon, Holly. I don't want to say I've been bitten by the Pokemon bug, but I'm like my daughter, my oldest daughter recently, who's been playing Pokemon Go with me because we go on bike rides almost every night after like dinner and stuff like that. And when we go on our bike ride, we go Pokemon hunting. I got this little attachment for my bike to hold my cell phone in so I don't got to hold it in one hand while I'm riding the bike. So I literally have... Yeah, I know, right? Like, I don't want to say I'm an addict, but I am level 13, so I'm doing pretty good. I'm catching my Pokemons. I have 1,000-plus CP, or combat power Pokemon, so I feel like I'm doing pretty good. I don't have any gyms yet, but my daughter's school, this is great, my daughter's school that she goes to is actually a Pokemon gym.
Oh, that's kind of cool. The place where I work, the library, has a gym right outside, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah. It means that when I take my daughter to school and or pick her up from school, like, she's going to be like, okay, Dad, let's go. I'm like, hold on, Lily. I'm trying to beat the Snorlax. Quiet down. So I don't know. I'm not super addicted, but I'm definitely feeling the bug of Pokemon bite, and I need to. I think Sun and Moon, I might buy both so my daughter has one and I got one. I don't know. Haven't decided yet. But we're not talking about that stuff. We're talking about who that Pokemon is. So, Holly, without further ado, you got to take your best guess and tell me which Pokemon this is that I have in front of my computer screen.
All right. So, of course, first question, as always, which generation is it in?
It looks like 5.
You don't even know yet.
It looks like 5. Okay. Yeah, it says this Pokemon was unavailable prior to Generation 5. So that means it was... The way that Pokemon are done when it comes to, like, gens is kind of weird. Because even, like... Obviously, this isn't Bulbasaur, but I'm just saying. If you have a Bulbasaur, I know it's Gen 1. But if you were to look it up, like, on a wiki page or something, it would be like, well, it's in this gen. So you got to kind of, like, figure out, like, well, which is the first gen? It's just... It's kind of weird. It's tricky.
Yeah, it is. It's a hard thing to look up for some reason. I think it should just be kind of a... just a regular thing in any Pokedex entry ever. Like, this is a generation whatever Pokemon. Okay, so Gen 5. What type or types?
This is a grass type.
Just plain old grass.
Just a grass. It's just hanging out in the weeds.
Okay, does it evolve into something, or does it evolve from something?
Evolves from.
Okay, just once?
Twice.
So this is a fully evolved thing?
Yes.
Out of three different evolutions?
Yes.
Okay. Can you give me a general idea of what it looks like? Because I got nothing so far.
Well, I'm gonna say a snake. It looks like a snake, like a serpent, kind of.
It evolves from one of the oh heavens, from one of the oh my gosh, beginner Pokemon. What are the starter Pokemon? It evolves from one of those, huh?
So I don't know what the starter Pokemon was in this gen, but this first one that the first evolution, it looks cute, it's adorb. You know,
a little how snivy people, because it's superior.
I mean, I'm not gonna say that that's right, but. It looks very
fully
cute.
The fully evolved one is superior.
That's correct.
Okay. I'm just glad it was one of the starters because other than the starters and a select few other Pokemon in Gen 5, I'm not too familiar with that generation.
Well, you got this one. You got it pretty darn good, actually. I feel like you asked perfect questions to lead yourself down the correct well of Pokemon answers.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
But yeah, so that's my Pokemon, Holly. What's your Pokemon?
All right, so as always, we have a Pokemon for you, those of you who are listening, to guess. As always, again, you can send your guesses in to us by using hashtag NFPokemon. NF for Nintendo Fever Pokemon, hashtag NFPokemon. So yeah, don't forget
Pokemon
to use...
Pokemon for Pokemon.
Yes, Pokemon. it's pretty self-explanatory once you realize that I'm saying F and not S. It's NF Pokemon. Anyway, so be sure to send your guesses in to us through Twitter. Last week we didn't have a Pokemon, although the two episodes ago we did have a Pokemon. It was Manectric. Is that what that one was? Holy smokes, I'm getting way behind.
That's how I pronounce it. Yeah,
Manectric. Yeah. And I did reveal that in last episode, but we didn't actually have a new Pokemon to guess last episode, but this week we definitely do. Okay, so the first hint for you listeners is that it is in Generation 4. So think about your Generation 4 Pokemon. Start thinking about your possible guesses for Generation 4. As far as type goes, this is a dual-type Pokemon, so it has two types. It is flying and normal type, a flying and normal type Pokemon. Okay, so hopefully you're thinking about some more possible guesses, narrowing it down just a little bit. As far as evolution goes, this Pokemon is a base evolution. So it doesn't evolve from anything, but it does evolve twice. So it has two forms to come, basically. It's a base Pokemon. And with that, many of you may have already guessed which Pokemon this is, but for those of you who need a little bit more assistance, my last hint for you is that this is the generic bird Pokemon of Generation 4, because every generation, without fail, tell me a generation, I will tell you it's generic bird Pokemon. They all have a generic bird Pokemon, so... This is the generic bird Pokemon of Generation 4. So we will be revealing exactly which Pokemon that is next week. Don't forget to send in your guesses on Twitter using hashtag NFPokemon. So good luck to everybody out there.
Yes, and I like how, I don't know, like there's something very soothing about your description of the Pokemon that people are supposed to be guessing this time. Just like your guesses that you gave me, I feel like you just slowly wandered down that cave of like, who is this Pokemon? And then at the end of the cave, there it is, sitting there.
I'm getting very good at this.
I feel like we probably are just a little bit. But off of Pokemon, done with Pokemon, because the more we talk about Pokemon, the more... Have you been watching the Pokemon TV show at all, Holly?
I have, on Netflix. Have
me
you?
Too,
have you,
me too. Well,
have you been watching the new episodes or the old classic ones?
The old classic ones, but I haven't. My daughter has. So I just kind of like sit down and watch with her occasionally. But it's been great. It's hilarious that Ash is I think, 11 or 10. 12 or 10. Yeah, 10. He's 10. He's like, oh, well, I'm 10. I guess it's time to go start my life. See you, Mom. I'm out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That's when you leave the nest in the Pokemon world, age 10.
And then, like, the first episode where all the Pidgeys and then the Sparrows and then the Beetles and I don't know. It was great. Not the Beetles. The Weedles. And then the, what are they called? The Bee-Dizzles? Bee-Rizzles?
Bee-Drills.
Okay. See, it's something hip-hoppy.
The Bee-Dizzles. Oh, yeah.
I've just been enjoying watching the show with my daughter. And she's, we went to a, I'm sorry. I know I'm got, like kind of like ranting a little bit today. I don't mean to, but I feel like we haven't talked for such a
Pokemon,
long time.
Come on, man.
We went
it's
to
the,
my,
it's the in thing right now.
my wife's company party, and there was a very talented clown that was making balloon animals. And my youngest, my baby, has got a bow for her hair that she instantly started to eat because she likes to pop balloons. Because baby. Oh. And then my three-year-old, she loves that song, I'm Bringing Home with a Baby Bumblebee, and it's so cute and adorable. So she got a bumblebee. And then Lily instantly was like, she was looking through the book, and she's like, oh my gosh, look what they have. And I was like, what? She's like, Pikachu. And I was like, oh my goodness. And she got a Pikachu.
Balloon animal?
It was pretty adorable. I'll have to send you a picture. That's awesome. I'll be posting that on Facebook, so definitely check that out. Or not Facebook, but Twitter. I'll probably post it everywhere, not going to lie. Anyways, moving away from Pokemon, Holly,
that's recent swag right there. Well, so I think that totally segues into our recent swag section.
Yes, and I got quite a bit of recent swag, so I feel like I'm going to start it off. Obviously, hey guys, anyone that's listening, if you get some cool recent swag, tag me or Holly or the podcast into your Twitter or Facebook post, because I love seeing what other people get as good deals, because it's so exciting to go out there. You're looking for something that's a good deal, maybe a game you've never played before, maybe something to add to your collection, whatever the case may be, and then you're able to find like a few of them all in the same day. That is like one of the best feelings in the world. So I found a couple of really cool things. I don't know how much you found recently, Holly. Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
I can start really quick. I mean, just because I got a couple of cool things. Okay. So first of all, both of my things I just got new. I just wanted them. So the first thing is the Monster Hunter Generations Special Edition new Nintendo 3DS XL.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I got one of those.
How many 3DSs you got now, Holly?
I sold my old one to kind of make up some of the difference in terms of the money that I spent. The cool thing is that I have a friend who doesn't have a whole lot of money, and he doesn't have a ton of love for Nintendo, enough to, you know, be crazy like us and spend tons of money. But he does love Monster Hunter. He apparently played Try on the Wii for, you know, many, 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 many hours. So I thought maybe he would actually appreciate getting a pretty good deal on my old new Nintendo 3DS, my old new Nintendo 3DS XL, along with my physical copy of Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, because I actually ended up having that physically and digitally. So we actually were able to play that together. So, so I really only have one 3DS still, and anytime I get a new one, I'll sell the old one.
That's a good idea.
Except that I don't know if I'll ever sell this special edition one. That would just be silly, because it's too cool.
This new special edition that's coming out, the Mario one, I'm pretty down. I think that one's pretty cool. Only it's not an XL, it's a regular sized one. So
it'll be. I mean, I'm tempted to get it purely because I've got an XL. It's not exactly the most, you know, transportable thing ever. It's fairly bulky. So I almost want to pay $150 to get this regular sized new 3DS with the, you know, two different face plates, a Mario one and then the 8-bit one, and then it also comes with Super Mario 3D Land pre-installed. I almost want to get that purely because I could probably actually fit it in my pocket, which would be a new experience for me.
I know. Every time I use my old 3DS, which I gave to my daughter, like I lent it down to her because I got the new Nintendo 3DS, the XL one, obviously. It's so weird playing that small one because the form factor is just so, I don't know. That feels like what a handheld should feel like, where the 3DS, the XL feels like this weird like tablet monster, basically.
Yes, that's a good way to describe it. I went back and played Game Boy Advance SP recently, and since that is not nearly as wide, like my fingers are touching in the back, and I'm just like, my hands feel so scrunched. So every little handheld Nintendo system feels a little different. But the system I got is blue, for those who are curious, because I think there was a red one available as well.
I did not even know that there was a special edition that came out for it, so that's pretty awesome. For Monster. Did it come with the game pre-installed, or did it come with a physical copy of the game?
No game at all.
Don't you love that? Don't you just love that? Nintendo, Capcom, God bless you.
Hey, there's the new edition coming out that comes pre-installed with 3D Land, so, you know. Nintendo does
this
that.
Is terrible.
You can get a 2DS. You can get a 2DS for $80 with Mario Kart 7 on it.
Yes,
for just
$80.
I think it was a Capcom thing more than a Nintendo thing.
They did this with another game recently. Oh, the Majora's Mask. Remember, they released a Majora's Mask Special Edition, but it did not come with the game.
It doesn't, you know, it doesn't not make sense to me.
It makes no sense to release a special edition console and not include the game with it. That'd be like when Halo 5 came out and they had the Halo 5 Xbox special edition, and they're like, oh, we're going to sell you this Halo 5 special edition Xbox, but we're not going to give you the game as well. I almost want to say that did happen with another. It was like the Doom Special Edition. No, not the Doom. Somebody correct me on this, because I know that there was another game where it was like the Special Edition of, like, I want to say maybe it was something really big. Maybe Call of Duty, maybe not. Something came out, and it's like, here's a Special Edition box with all this cool stuff, and then it did not have the game with it. You have to buy the game. Yeah, it's crazy.
That is crazy purely because if it comes with other extras, then yeah, you kind of expect the game. But, you know, if they added $20 to the Monster Hunter Generation Special Edition 3DS and included the game, yes, I would have, you know, simply paid all of that, and that would have been great. But, you know, they're trying to make a profit still, so I
question
don't know.
To the listeners. I want to hear what you guys think. Is it okay to release a special edition console without the game? I want to hear. I just want to know. I think that is a no-go. That is a no bueno. Not okay on my watch, peoples. So let me know what your guys' opinion is, if it's okay to buy a special edition console without the game that it's being a special edition console for. Like, this is not like, hey, it's a Monster Hunter themed, you know, 3DS. This is a Monster Hunter Generations theme. You know, that's the other thing. Anyways, I'm sorry. I'm just jumping in.
If it's okay. I see your point a little bit more now. But the only other bit of recent swag I got, again, brand new, was a pack of amiibo, the Squid Sisters amiibo. So I now have little figures for Callie and Marie. So, Calamari.
Did you get it for both the other three as well? So do you have the entire Splatoon set now?
Nope, I didn't get the original 3-pack, and I didn't get the new 3-pack. I might have gotten the new 3-pack, or at least one of the alternate colors of Inklings. If they like, I think it would have made sense for Nintendo to make it so that you could play the single player campaign with some of the other specialized weapons, like an amiibo that allowed you to play single player with the Slosher would be a dream come true for me. It'd be awesome.
I know you,
you know,
the
if
slosher.
The single player mode, I love the Slosher. If the single player mode just let you choose your weapon to begin with, you know, it wouldn't be an issue. But it is kind of an issue to me. I would love to play Splatoon single player with the Slosher.
Especially because this actually just recently crossed my mind, but like, the Splatoon is kind of, I don't want to say it's dying, because I played it, I want to say 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it was still a very nice community, and they were still easy to find a game and stuff. But like, give it another 5-6 months, maybe tops, like, and it's going to start dying down. And if we enjoy certain weapons, such as you with the Slosher and stuff, like, you can't even enjoy that in the single player missions to go around and play around with. You know what I mean? Like, cause as soon as the game no longer welcomes the ability to, like, cause there's no bots, for instance. If there was like bot matches, then it's like, okay, whatever, at least I can play, you know, against, you know, 7 random, you know, computer opponents just for fun. But you can't even do that at some point. Eventually, the game will literally just come to a standstill, and you have to just play the single player campaign, you know, those really good level design, like, you know, Splatoon has a really cool single player level design and everything. It just would kind of stink if it just turned into this very, I don't know, I guess at that point you just put it away and you never touch it again.
Yeah, so that to me is a bit of a missed opportunity from Nintendo, but and it comes off as a little lazy, especially, I don't know, it just makes sense. If you're going to make alternate
color, I wonder
what
their reason is. I wonder
amiibo.
I wonder what their actual reason is for doing that. Like, I don't know. It just seems kind of weird that they have all these included games or all these included weapons, and then so many of them are only usable for the multiplayer. It just seems like maybe they should be like continuously usable. I don't know.
Yeah.
Call me crazy.
Yeah. Well, once we get that interview with Reggie Fils-Aimé, we'll
working
figure
on
out
it.
All the answers.
Working on it. Episode 150, guys. Don't hold your breath. did you get anything else, or are those the two things?
That's it for my recent swag. I'm pretty happy with it. So
okay,
let's get the explosion of recent swag that you got.
Got a bunch of video games since the last time that we talked. I mean, a bunch of video games. I'll start with the Wii games. I got Sonic Colors for the Wii. Have
it's
it physical.
Not a bad one.
It's a very fun game. Played a good couple hours of it, and I was like, I remember when Sonic was good, because I still don't. Just kidding. It's okay. And then I also got GoldenEye for the Wii. I did not own that. The box copy that I got of it is pretty crappily in really bad condition, but the game works, so whatever. Don't matter to me. Got those for both really dirt cheap, so it was really nice. Then I also got two GameCube games. I got a boxed copy, complete in box, of the Mario Sunshine. I've only ever owned the disc of Mario Sunshine because it came with a GameCube that I bought, so I didn't have the actual box for it. So now I have a boxed copy and a loose copy of it, so that's kind of nice. I like having one that I can almost like play in rotation, and the other one I can keep kind of like up in the corner of my room, like say like, hey, look at that pretty game box. Not that the Mario Sunshine game box is really all that nice. It's just kind of whatever. And then for the other GameCube game I got was Namco Museum Collections or something like that. I can't think about what they call it, but it's the one that has like all the different arcade versions of it, and then there's like one or two like remixed versions of it as well. It's called the Namco Arcade Collection or something like that. I can't remember the exact name, but I got that. I've got
Namco Museum on the GBA. Pretty rudimentary.
I think it's that, only this is the GameCube version, which is like four games more, basically, than that one. Okay. And then I got some PlayStation 1 games. And I got these for basically a steal, considering what the games were at a garage sale, so that was awesome. I got Parasite Eve 1 and 2. I don't know if you know much about the Parasite Eve games.
Nope.
They're horror games in the vein, but not the exact same as like Resident Evil. That style of camera was used in that. It's kind of like a weird mix between Silent Hill and Resident Evil, but they're very good stories. Like Parasite Eve have some pretty cool stories in them and stuff. It stinks that the third one was only ever like a PSP exclusive and did not get very much exposure at all. And then I also got Final Fantasy VIII as well. So I got a Final Fantasy game, I got some horror games, I got some Mario games, I got some Sonic games, I got lots of video games, Holly. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Now, so speaking of video games,
I had a PlayStation 1 that worked. I need to get a cord for my PlayStation 2.
PlayStation 2 at least?
But I don't have the cord. I still never bought it. I need to get it eventually.
Even I have a working PlayStation 2 with the cord and everything.
Well, I'm more of a true Nintendo fan. I choose not to get the cord. That would make it work.
Okay, I'm gonna go out there and sell my PlayStations. I'll show you who's the real Nintendo fan.
But I don't know. I haven't sat down and played too much of any of the new stuff that I bought. I got Sonic Colors probably the first week that we didn't do a podcast, so I played that one pretty good because I was gonna talk about it at the time. It's just a fun little Sonic game. But that's all I got. That's all my recent swag for the past couple weeks.
Cool. That's a good haul, of course.
It is, and those are the games that we got in the past, but actually there's some games out right now to get on the Wii U and the 3DS eShop / Virtual Console. So we're going to talk about a couple of those games. The games that came out for the Wii U was Tadpole Treble, which Holly's going to talk about. Spoiler, don't tell her I told you. We're also going to talk a little bit about Wave Race 64, which is a Nintendo 64 game that I don't have a lot of history with, but I know it's regarded as being a very good game.
It is.
I do really like Wave Race for the GameCube. The Blue Thunder, I think, is what it's called. Oh,
Blue Storm.
Blue Storm,
which I am now interested in getting.
Ah, I might. Me and you need to talk after the podcast. I also that came out this week was Mario Sports Mix, which I never bought, played, or cared about, even though I heard recently not too bad of a game, someone said.
I rented it, I think, back in the day when I was with Gamefly for, like, you know, 4 months or however long that was. Mario Sports Mix, I don't remember anything about any of the sports except for volleyball. The only thing I remember about volleyball is that it was actually quite fun to play multiplayer. So that makes me almost want to get it, but, you know, it'll never go on sale, will it? But
no, I don't think so. And it's not worth $20. Virtual console.
Yeah.
$20, yeah.
Just for one little volleyball minigame that happened to be a lot of fun multiplayer-wise.
I guarantee if you keep your eyes out, someone will sell it at a garage sale for $3. I promise you that. Also out this week is Surf and Sam Attack on Aquatics. So that's a game that's out. And then also 360 Breakout, which is another game that exists. Those are all for the Wii U / Virtual Console. On the 3DS, it was very light this week, but both games are pretty awesome. So, Holly, you need to check out Ambition of the Slimes. I did not buy this because it's not quite my style of game, but this is a turn-based tactics RPG. So you need to look into this game because who knows, it might be your next addiction.
I've looked into it already.
Hard to say. Oh, okay. And you are decided...
Not yet. But not it yet. Looks well, not too bad.
It does look not too bad. I like Circle. The developer behind this is Circle, and they actually make some really cool games. That's the one that made Mercenaries Saga 2, which is what I got, which is it was a tactics-style game as well, and it's very fun. And there's one or two other RPGs that I bought that was from Circle. And they also just do a lot of really cool indie development for the 3DS and the DS back, the DSiWare as it was at the time. So keep an eye on those developers because they really do a lot of really interesting stuff. They're kind of like a really small version of Atlas in a lot of ways. You know, an Xseed kind of. That's kind of who they remind me of. And then the other game that came out for the 3DS, Virtual Console game, of course, a classic by the basic definition of the word classic, Mega Man X. Oh boy. Will I buy it? No. I already love this game and I adore this game on everything that it stands for and is, but I will not buy it again on the 3DS because it's just something that I don't need to purchase 100 times over, but I love this game. Do you have a lot of experience with Mega Man X?
I don't have any experience with this particular game, and my Mega Man experience is really sad also. I've played Mega Man 2 for maybe half an hour total in my lifetime, and then I pretty much beat Mega Man 1, which is as far as I got into any Mega Man game, obviously, and that's it. That and Super Smash Bros.
Mega Man X is a awesome 90s platformer action, you know, shoot 'em up and platforming game. Like, it's a pretty awesome game. Like, I'm pretty sure it's available on the Wii U, because I'm pretty sure I own it on the Wii. I just never upgraded it.
I'd prefer it on the TV screen.
I would definitely recommend checking it out there because it really is worth playing. Like, here's the thing about it is I would say this game is, it means as much to the history of like the Super Nintendo games in a lot of the same respects as like a Donkey Kong or a Mario Super World, like Mario, Super Mario World. Like, honestly, like, it has a place just like those games, Castlevania. I don't know. It really holds a very special place on the Super Nintendo. And I think it's worth experiencing because it shows what that generation was kind of about to a point.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a game that is available.
Yeah. Mega Man's reputation is, it's pretty renowned, so.
And this was someday. One of the games that helped keep it like that, honestly. But it was that game is available on your Nintendo 3DS for the Virtual Console. Only the new Nintendo 3DS, mind you, though. So I would definitely check out that one. But now, instead of talking about what you can play, let's talk about what we have been playing. I kind of decided that we would both pick a game to talk about, so we have plenty of time to talk about our feature. And the game that I am going to talk about today is Metroid Prime Federation Force Blast Ball. Ooh, that is a mouthful, and when you say it very slowly, especially. Holly, you said you played it for a very short little while.
Yeah, a short little while. I wouldn't even call it a while, like a short 5 minutes or so.
Did you ever play the game Rocket League?
No.
Okay, so I don't want to say this
is not even a familiar name.
Oh, not even a familiar name. So it kind of took the gaming world by storm just a little bit. It came out for free with PlayStation Plus a while back ago on the PlayStation 4, and it blew up because it's a competitive online 3-on-3. You're driving a car and you are playing soccer. So, yes, that's the thing that exists, and it's pretty awesome. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy playing it. And when they showed off Blast Ball, obviously the very first thing that came to most people's minds was, oh, it's just like Rocket League. And it is. And I mean that in a good way, because Rocket League is a good mechanical system, and this game is good in a lot of the things that it's doing. The biggest problems that I have with it is Rocket League is so fast. It is so fast. Like, you have to take time and patience to figure out what you're going to do. But, like, anything can mess you up or throw you off course in the blink of an eye because of how fast the game actually is. Imagine Holly playing soccer in an F-Zero car.
Ooh, jeez.
Exactly. It feels like that. But when you play Blast Ball, it's not so much it's more like playing Splatoon when you're in the wrong color ink. Playing soccer.
Oh, yeah.
So, much, much, much slower. I feel like those were both really good analogies, by the way. I'm not patting myself on the back, but pretty good job, Matt. Pretty good job.
Oh, yeah.
But the game itself The game itself is a lot of fun. The controls work fine. You get used to them, I would say, I think pretty quickly. It wasn't something that was a turn off immediately, and I was able to kind of work myself through it until I got comfortable with how to play with it. I do wish that there was a pure stylus control in the way that, like, the Metroid Prime Hunters was on the DS back in the day. I kind of wish that there was just an option to just use the stylus for your control, or kind of like Kid Icarus controlled back when that game came out for the 3DS. As you play the game of soccer, it's kind of the first person to three goals wins. Every time you make a goal, the goal gets a little bit smaller to make it a little bit harder. There's some power-ups that come towards you. You never really feel like you're directing the momentum of the ball is one of my biggest critiques with the game. There's times where you're like shooting it or you're powering up, but your shots don't feel powerful. So you don't feel like you're really contributing, or you're the one that's actually like giving it a direct momentum or change of course, if that makes sense.
Yeah, impact is a huge thing. Like animation, sound effects, you know, that all is hugely important.
Yes, the sound effects are trash, by the way. They're just a lot of like it's just not
classic, like 10-year-old at the library, which, you know, I happen to work at a library on the computer, so I'm like, pew, 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 yes. Playing this whole computer games.
Exactly, and that's about what it feels like. I don't know. The game's good, and it comes with the training mode from what is going to be Federation Force when that eventually comes out as well, I'm pretty sure, because that's what they kind of claim it as being, as a training mode. But you can kind of tell, like, this is kind of what Federation Force is going to play like, which is fun. It's nice. I think that – I don't know. I know me and you, Holly, we're, like, pretty positive on Federation Force as a whole. Like, we're like, oh, yeah, it could be fun. I'm interested in this game. Where, like, the majority of the public are like, hate it, kill it with stick. I don't want. So I think that this was a good
idea. Well, Nintendo was kind of dumb not to include Samus in a Metroid game.
Well, that's the problem is, once again, I heard someone talk the other day. They're like, the fans want a 2D Metroid, and then Nintendo gives us this instead. And I'm like, yeah, but this isn't Metroid. This is a different thing. This is a spinoff. And it's the problem is, and I've said it 100 times, Holly, I'm going to say it again, it's called Metroid Prime. That's the only problem that this game will ever have in its entire existence. If this game would have been called Metroid Federation Force, nobody would have blinked an eye. But they call it Metroid Prime. Because everyone, you talk to anybody about Metroid and Metroid Prime especially, they're like, Metroid Prime is about being by yourself and exploring and isolation and the scariness of space. Like, it's the prime word that makes people, like, feel this certain emotion about the Metroid series. I think that if you call it Metroid, then Federation Force, it's kind of like when they first called Metroid, Metroid Prime. Do you know what you see what I'm saying? Now it has, like, two subtitles.
Yeah, but I don't know. People hold Super Metroid, which doesn't have Prime in the name, with, like, a ton of respect as well. And I think that time is a huge thing. It has been forever since we had a Metroid game that actually satisfies fans. And I feel like frustration is just building. And so I don't think any kind of association with the Metroid series was very good idea for a game like this.
I do think that this game could have been just fine if they would have just called it Federation Force. I think if they would have just called it Federation Force and then it just moved on and they're like, oh, new IP, Federation Force, I think it would have been better overall. Because one, no one would have thought Metroid to begin with. And two, I love it when Nintendo introduces new IP. And that's what this feels like in a lot of ways, is new IP. So whatever, I don't want to rant too much on Federation Force because I know we're on the same page. But I wish I could take, like, some of those people that are so angry about this game and just, like, sit them down and be like, it's a new game and we don't even know if it's any good yet. Can we just find out if it's any good before we hate? I mean, if it's no good, then yes, hate all you want. But if it's a good game, just enjoy a good game. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny, but when the reviews start coming out for Federation Force, I'm wondering whether, like, you know, if it gets bad reviews, are people going to finally be happy and satisfied, or will they still be hateful?
Nothing will make anybody happy or satisfied ever.
Yeah, that's probably true. Not with the Metroid series. Not until they blow people's minds with some incredibly amazing outer space adventure.
Yeah. But that is what I want to talk about this week for what I've been playing. I have been playing our NF Game Club Game of the Month Club game. That was a mouthful. Donkey Kong Country 3 Gibberish Baby Gibberish. I don't want to talk about it too much because it's our Game of the Month. We'll talk about it more later, obviously. But Holly...
Once I've actually played it, because unfortunately... I've got it downloaded. I've had it downloaded for days.
All I want to say is not... not impressive so far.
Oh, give me a break.
I guess
we're both kind of disappointments this month.
Maybe, but let me know what you think of it when you get to finally download it and play it for a little while, because the first world, just I have no impressions that are impressive, if that makes sense. But Holly, what have you been playing this week that you do want to talk about? Hater.
I decided, this is partly why I haven't played Donkey Kong Country 3 yet, but a few days ago, I thought to myself, I'm going to try to go a week without playing video games, because I just feel so incredibly overwhelmed lately by just like, oh, I still haven't finished Fire Emblem Fates Revelation. I still have to play, you know, finish up Pokemon Red. I've got like 5 other Pokemon games that I'm playing too, and I just feel incredibly overwhelmed. Monster Hunter is no small, you know, game to try to play sufficiently and things like that. And so I was just like, you know what? I'm just dropping the video games for a week. I'm going to get some perspective and realize that, you know, video games aren't everything. I don't have to play video games every day. But this past week, of course, Wave Race 64 was a game that I wanted to download and try out, because I didn't have a lot of experience with this game either growing up. We were a 1080 snowboarding family all the way. But Tadpole Treble, which when you say it out loud, gets a little...
Tongue twister.
Yeah, it's surprisingly hard to say. Tadpole Treble is another game that I wanted to try out. I am sadly not a huge indie game player, and a lot of people are probably kind of disappointed with that. But I do love rhythm games, and so I've got a little bit of indie love to dish out today. So Tadpole Treble, very unique game where you play as a... tadpole, a newly hatched tadpole named Baton. She's female, you know, this cute little female tadpole who swims through these levels that are auto-scrolling. So the game is auto-scrolling, and the levels are actually designed to appear like the musical score of the song for that stage. So each stage is a song, and you literally are playing on this scrolling musical score for the songs. Funny enough, what you have to do is avoid hazards, including the notes. So believe it or not, you're supposed to avoid the notes on the score by changing different levels on the score. There are other hazards, of course, but there's also good stuff. That's kind of actually where the rhythm comes in. So there's good stuff that you want to collect to get like a high score. That's kind of the point, is to get the highest score that you can and not die in the process by running into too many notes, musical notes. So you're trying to find... This game is so difficult for me to talk about because it's so unique. It isn't entirely rhythm-based. There are a few elements where you get to a certain point and you have to hit the A button with proper timing to get, you know, an extra couple of points added to your score or whatever. But trying, for the most part, you can actually move between levels of the score freely. So there's not a huge rhythmic component to it. It's more about getting into the flow of the music, because to pick up the items that you want to pick up, there is a bit of a musical flow to that. But again, you move between levels freely, and so there's no strict like rhythm that you have to follow. So it's kind of unique that way. So again, you're just trying to get a good score and not die through the level. As long as you don't lose all of your health in a level, then you can progress. It doesn't matter what your score or rank was, you can continue on. And that's kind of how you can get through the story.
There was a really, really cool DSiWare game. I don't know if you ever played it, but it was called Maestro Jump in Music, or Maestro Green Groove, I think is what it was. Yeah, Maestro Green Groove, I think. Nope. Well, I just watched a little bit of gameplay where you're talking about this Tadpole Treble. And I think you should look up this Maestro Green Groove game, because it's... it's not the same in like the exact same, but I don't know. I think if you like this Tadpole game, I think you'd like this Maestro Green Groove. It's on the DSiWare, so it's on 3DSware. I'm pretty sure it is, but
3DSware.
Well, 3DS, whatever, eShop. Anyways, I think you'd like it. And this Tadpole Treble does not seem like a terrible game. It seems like it'd be kind of fun. I can't hear the music because I'm obviously listening to you talk and stuff like that. But is the soundtrack pretty good? I mean, is it all just classical tunes?
It's surprisingly good. There's a lot of styles. Like, there was a level called, you know, chiptune something or other, and it was actual chiptunes. And even the graphical style changed. And that's another thing, is that you'd expect a game like this to honestly look kind of generic. But it's got quite a bit of style to it. It's just kind of a fun, lighthearted game. And I did just look up this Maestro Green Groove game, and it's got pretty good scores, so definitely one that I'll be looking into. But
it was a very, very good game when it came out. It was kind of one of those like darlings that came out on the, you know, because there wasn't a ton of amazing stuff. Exactly. It was kind of a darling that hit it, and it was a
killer app.
I mean, I really liked it.
How do I not
it.
Remember it then? Jeez. I was subscribed to Nintendo Power back in the day. Come on, Nintendo Power.
And Nintendo Power definitely talked about it a lot, I remember. But,
dang. I'm not remembering this.
It's a very good game. Definitely take a look into it. But I think that's about all we're going to talk about when it comes to what we've been playing. Anything else you want to mention or talk about?
Oh, just Wave Race 64. Again, it has kind of surprised me. It may have already... I haven't even played it that long. But as far as control, like, this game just controls like a dream. It feels amazing.
The one for the GameCube, Blue Storm, like, the one thing I'll say about it, because obviously it doesn't look like amazing anymore, but like the wave effects and like controlling your actual jet ski inside of the waves, like, it's pretty impressive. And the one thing that I remember hearing a lot about the 64 game was, I don't know, for its time, it was very technically impressive.
Mm-hmm. It definitely actually looks quite good compared to some other N64 stuff. It's really good. I don't know if it's just a sense of speed or if there's actual speed to it, but the sense of speed at the very least is very excellent. It's not like too much to where you're like, I can't, you know, it's too frustrating and difficult to get into, but it does make you feel like, oh, man, I'm just cruising along, and makes you feel like a pro once you can master kind of, you know, bouncing on the waves and things like that. It's an amazing game. I mean, gosh, I love it. I still love 1080 snowboarding, but even though I've only played Wave Race 64 for probably maybe between an hour or 2 hours, I think it has already surpassed 1080 because it just feels amazing. You learn how to do tricks, and they're extremely simple, but they make you feel so cool and so good. It just, one of the best controlling games that you'll ever play, I'm pretty sure. It's awesome.
Well, that's good. I would not be opposed to checking that one out as a fan of retro gaming. And I don't know, sometimes sports games on retro consoles I think it's because of the nostalgia. It's just they're almost more entertaining to a certain point. But
yeah,
moving away from what we have been playing, it's time to go to our feature and talk about a little bit of a mailbag. I know that we talked about we're going to have a big mailbag spectacular on episode 75. We still are, and we are still going to be giving out Swords and Soldiers 2 for the eShop as well on episode number 75. But we had a couple of questions that came in that were kind of time sensitive. We don't want to talk about our predictions or ideas of NX after the NX gets talked about,
right?
Because
and we just don't know when it will be announced.
Yes, and there is a chance that they won't talk, or that they will not have the NX announced by the time we do episode number 75, but there's also a good chance that they will announce it before we do episode 75. So we're going to try and beat the storm a little bit, and we're going to talk about some of the questions that we had pertaining to the NX. So let's go ahead and get into some questions. Holly, why don't you you say the first question that we got.
Okay, so this one comes from Mike McSurdy, who guests on the podcast occasionally. He asks, should the NX abandon the virtual console?
Ooh, starting off with a fiery one, honestly.
Yes, especially since Matt and I both have, like, you know, serious gripes with the virtual console on Wii U.
We do. And, you know, I was listening to you talk about it. I was listening to our podcast that we did last week, and we talked about the virtual console quite a bit. And we also had, I believe it was either Gentis, maybe it was Gentis, or maybe it was somebody else that commented on Twitter saying that they don't dislike the way that My Nintendo is exactly. And Green Moblin is the one that said that. Yes. Okay. And Gentis, I think, chimed in as well. I can't remember how that whole chain of events happened. But just like we were talking about with the virtual console on last week's episode, I had thought of a couple things that I didn't think to say at the time that I did want to say. Like, yes, I do think it's crazy now that I heard myself say it out loud that we would be paying $10 a month for the virtual console service, though I do think that it would be nice to participate in a yearly payment of like 50 like PlayStation Plus and getting either two games at a time or being open to some sort of catalog. I think that'd be a very beneficial thing. I think overall, though, I don't know about you. Wii U for sure, but no, I do not want to see the virtual console gone in any capacity. I want to see it be embraced. That's my biggest thing, is I want Nintendo to treat the virtual console like a museum to Nintendo. Like, the coolest thing about the virtual console is you have retro games at your you know, whenever you want them. You have some of the greatest games in history, but I wish they would treat it like a museum or like a cultural type of positivity. I mean, this is kind of me thinking like far-fetched, but imagine a game like Super Mario RPG. Let's say not only do you buy the game, but you also buy like an art book, a digital art book that you can flip through the pages, and maybe like a 5-page story about the game, or maybe a letter from the producer or director. Like, I want them to take it and not just make it a solitary experience of, oh, you buy game, here's a game, play a game. What if you're buying a piece of this memory? Let us buy into our nostalgia. One thing as gamers that we love to do is we love to be nostalgic. Let us experience nostalgia through the virtual console. That's what I think.
Yeah, I do want the virtual console to return. And again, and like you, I want Nintendo to do something more with it than they did with the Wii U. I don't want to feel disappointed. So I'm kind of torn between, like, okay, if it ends up being as bad as the Wii U virtual console, then I'm just, you know, that's just me being set up for disappointment. I'm not sure. I'm not sure that I would like to go through that again versus you not having to worry about it at all because there's no virtual console. I don't know which one of those ideas sounds more appealing to me. It's really sad.
Part of the sad thing, and I think we talked about this even a little bit before, but they should really use the virtual console to pad out their launch lineup. I mean, we don't obviously know what games are going to be available for the virtual console, if there will be or will not be a virtual console for the NX. But imagine we have, let's say the Wii, let's say we have the N64, the Super Nintendo, and the Nintendo. Like, let's say we have those kind of four mainstays of Nintendo. You could pick 5 amazing games from the NES, 5 amazing games from the SNES, 5 amazing games from the GameCube, and 5 amazing games from the Wii, and you have 20 games that you're now adding on top of whatever is part of the launch window of the NX. That's an amazing starting lineup, like, especially if they do transfer over stuff that you've already purchased, as we think they should do, then you already have access to these games that you already previously purchased. So while you're waiting for new games to come out, you have something like Mario Galaxy to hold you over, or you have something like Super Mario World, Mario Brothers 3, Donkey Kong Country, like all these amazing games that you already own and you don't have to buy for a fifth time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I think overall, should the NX abandon the virtual console? The answer for me and Holly is no. They should just do it right.
right. Exactly. So Mike's other question is an interesting one.
Yeah.
I don't have a very good answer.
Well, the question is, you get a chance to name the NX. What's the new final product called? Sorry, I went into like game show announcement right there.
That's okay. I have nothing. I thought and thought and thought about this. I got nothing.
I do have something. I think that they should just take a deep breath. If I'm Reggie and I'm the president of Japan and the president of Europe, even though he probably doesn't participate a whole lot, I don't know why. I just view him as being like, I don't know, like the guy that shows up to dodgeball and nobody picks him, and then he's like, hey, I'm still here, and then he gets picked very last. Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah. I just feel – I'm really good at these analogies sometimes, Holly. I feel pretty good about these. I'm just kidding. I think that they should all take a deep breath, you know, just, okay, calm down. What are we going to do? What are we going to do, guys? And Reggie's just like, I have an idea. All right, Reggie, what's your idea? Let's call it the Nintendo.
That's okay.
I wanted them to take a step back.
Sweet.
I wanted exactly. How many times has your mom and dad called it, hey, stop playing the Nintendo in there? It's like, it's the Wii,
well,
Mom.
I think that's the problem with that name.
It's the Xbox, Mom. I'm playing Xbox right now. Leave me and my friends alone. Bring me more quesadillas.
That's kind of the problem with that name, though, if you ask me. But that's okay. I mean, it's better than my no answer.
That's a good problem to have when everything is the Nintendo. Eventually, people are going to need to buy a Nintendo to make their mom tell the truth.
That kind of comes up with the... Or that, I don't know, that sets up expectations that this is going to be a system that will, you know, hit that nostalgic sweet spot for just every gamer back from the 80s. Plus, it'll add... tons of new great stuff. Third parties will flock to it, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. Nintendo. It just comes with too many expectations, I wish
that the PlayStation 4 would have just been called the PlayStation. I wish that the Xbox One would have just been called Xbox.
There was a PlayStation, though, at one point.
Yes, there was a Nintendo at one point.
It was the NES, technically, though. Nintendo Entertainment.
What a Nintendo Entertainment System, which is still Nintendo, I feel. But
most people still just call it that, but that's okay.
I think that it would be a good idea. Let us hear what your thoughts are as well, if you do have an idea for what you think the NX should eventually be called, if you think that we're crazy and they would never, ever call it nothing, as Holly is suggesting. I do think that's a little bit far-fetched, Holly, not going to lie. Or if you think that they should just call it the Nintendo like I'm suggesting, let us know what you think about that. Hit us up on Twitter or hit us up through our mailbag, which is, of course, podcast@nintendofever.com. But we're not done yet. We still have some more questions. Jason, a good buddy of mine who runs a website called Low Bias Gaming, go and check it out for Let's Plays and things of that sort. He has a couple questions for us. He asked, how do I look in these pants? Holly, how do you think he looks in those pants?
Pretty good, pretty good. A little darker blue, though, I think would suit him a little better.
I was thinking pinstripes.
Okay, I can see it.
Okay, so answer number one, Jason, pinstripes.
Yes.
Now it's time for the next question. Holly, I'll give you
this. We're going to have a Twitter poll on this. Pinstripes, dark blue, or a darker blue.
A darker blue or pinstripes, which is better? But he did have a second question. Holly, why don't you go ahead and ask it?
This one reads, franchise that left Nintendo consoles that you'd like to see make a comeback on the NX.
Ooh, this is a good one. We've talked about this in a way previously before because of stuff like what games do we hope to eventually see one day on the NX and things like that. And I think we've both kind of talked about our games from the past that we find interesting to see come back. If we're talking only classics type stuff, which is what I'm kind of guessing he's referring to here, I want to see a legit Castlevania game come back.
Okay. That's a good one. I actually have a very specific thing that I would actually love to see. After playing Wave Race 64, I would love to see a collection, if you will, of two classic N64 games, totally remastered in HD with, you know, better models and things like that. And those two N64 games are Wave Race 64 and 1080 Snowboarding. Match made in heaven, just like a collection of those two games.
You love Wave 1080 Race is awesome. Snowboarding.
And 1080 Snowboarding. They're both amazing.
You love it. Oh, and by the way, it's lowbiasedgaming.net. I said .com earlier. That does not exist. It's lowbiasedgaming.net. Just go and check it out if you are interested in Let's Plays and things of that sort. It's a pretty interesting little gaming community, so go check it out. Fun story, Holly. Me and Jason, we used to do a podcast back in the day.
Okay. I'll have to check that out for sure then.
I don't think it exists anywhere anymore.
Well, not the podcast, but his new website.
Oh, well, sorry, you didn't care about the podcast.
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay, well, as long as I know where we stand. Thank you, Jason, for asking those questions, and keep wearing pants. Keep wearing pants. Michael D. asked another question. He says, do you think the NX will get third-party support? It's funny, like, this question seems pretty like generic, like if it was Sony or Microsoft or I don't know, the WonderSwan, and you were like, hey, will this thing get third party support, we'd be like, of course it will. The developers will want to come to them and say, hey, put our game on your system. But it does not feel that way about Nintendo, and it does not feel that way today about the NX. Positive story came out about the developers behind which game was it? It was a big game, Fallout series, Bethesda. They came out recently and someone asked them some sort of question about the NX, saying like, hey, do you guys think you'll make a game for the NX? And their question was, it's too early to tell, but if it seems like good technology, then of course we'll be interested. That is like the best no answer you can possibly give. Like, if someone asks me if I want lasagna, I'll be like, I don't know. Am I hungry tonight? If I'm not, then I guess I won't.
Yeah, which is not very, it doesn't bode well, if you ask me. What I foresee, sadly, is the exact same situation with Wii U, because the NX will be underpowered, and I'm pretty sure it will be underpowered. We're just going to get a lot of outdated ports happening again that, you know, it's great. I mean, your argument always is like, oh, look at this. I'm playing this series on Nintendo. I never thought I would do that. They're all outdated, though. That's the really sad, unfortunate thing. So a bunch of outdated ports are going to happen. Because third parties, the third parties that people care about, they literally only care about these technical advances. They don't care about anything else. They don't care if this system is going to be the first, like, truly seamless hybrid system that you can take on the go and dock to your TV. They don't care about that if it's only on, you know, up to Wii U or between PS3 and PS4 standards. They, you know, that to them is underpowered and we can't do what we want to do on it. So that's gonna be the story of the NX, just as it was with the Wii U, and I know that's really sad of me to say, but I kind of foresee it being that way.
I do too. I'm not looking forward to hearing about third parties in the sense that there's gonna be a lot of news about it. I'm looking forward to hear about which third parties will be there. For instance, Guitar Hero came out for the Wii U, and it's a series and a game that I really like, and I was really happy that it did in fact show up to the Wii U, and I did buy it. I bought it a little bit later than maybe I should have, so like I'm a part of that problem with the music genre failing in the world of video games. But at the same time, I don't know, I just want to see what is going to be available. To answer the actual question of, do you think the NX will get third party support? I'm just going to say, It's likely they will, but it's not likely it'll be a lot.
Right. I mean, Nintendo has a great relationship with Capcom right now, and even with Square Enix, even though, you know, like, Square Enix is, you know, graphically superior Final Fantasy 15 is not about to come to any Nintendo console. At least Square Enix still publishes some pretty great games on Nintendo systems. And again, Capcom, Monster Hunter, NX, that had better happen. I mean, Nintendo currently has some good relationships with some third-party developers, but they're kind of missing out on a lot of support from others. And yes, the NX may get, you know, third-party games that are up-to-date at that time, kind of like Guitar Hero, but the thing is, everyone will, you know, it'll... Watch Dogs, actually, is another example. It'll be, like, the inferior version of that particular game. Because third parties... This is another trait of the third parties that people seem to care about, is that they want to publish their game for every possible platform. And so the NX is probably going to be the inferior platform, and therefore the inferior version of any third-party game that may come to the system, sadly.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I hope that it's not
so negative right now.
I hope that it's not inferior. I hope it's different. I'm okay with different. I'm not okay with inferior. That's not okay. All right. Well, moving forward to the final question of today's podcast about the NX, we have from Robert M, and he says, "Will you care if hardware power is between PS3 and PS4? Will you drink the Nintendo Kool-Aid or demand they get with it?" I think it all depends. Holly, I know your feelings. Your feelings is gameplay over graphics 100%, which I don't disagree with at all.
I mean, I clearly, but I obviously just, and this is just, I'm a different type of person. I like to go against the grain in every possible way. Like, Nintendo's really not popular right now. I'm gonna be like, Nintendo still makes great games, and so I'm gonna be the different one who stands up and says something good about something that, you know, nobody else seems to care about. That's just my way. But I do foresee hardware power not being very good. Wii U, if not, maybe a little higher than Wii U standards. As far as demanding Nintendo oh my gosh, I'm dyslexically reading this sentence right now. As far as demanding Nintendo to get with it, I'm kind of one who doesn't care too much about graphics personally, so I'm not about to go to Nintendo and be like, come on, Nintendo, we need some super high power graphics so that people can make the most photorealistic video games possible on your new system. Don't care. And I don't feel like I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I mean, I'm going to continue to buy and play Nintendo because I think it's fun. And if that means I'm drinking some Kool-Aid and I'm going to die as a gamer, then so be it. I don't even like tags anyway, so
there you have it. I think I said it once before, a very, very long time ago, Holly, that you were drinking the Nintendo juice or something like that. And I've always meant that as like a very positive thing. I don't think it's a negative to sit there and say, you know, like I will live and die by, you know, drinking what Nintendo is serving me. But it's also okay to understand that something is there's a difference between good enough and then it's just like, this is like a kind of a joke, right? Here's the thing. The Wii U is underpowered comparatively to the PS4 and the Xbox One. It's still a very powerful console. And if you don't believe me, play Mario 3D World, play Mario Kart, play Splatoon. These are beautiful looking video games. And at the end of the day, we're talking about video games. We're not talking about a movie that needs to be ultra realistic because, well, it is realistic. We don't need this bizarre sense of like the Uncanny Valley, for instance, that is a video game and it does need to look like a video game and it does need to play like a video game. There are certain experiences that are enhanced by being quote unquote photorealistic or quote unquote, you know, oh man, it looks like I'm really watching football on the TV and it's just a video game. Yes, there are things that are positive about having very, very powerful consoles. Will I demand it? Not if I get games like Mario Kart or if I get games like Super Mario or Super Mario 3D World. Like, these games are on a less powerful console and look better than half of the video games on these other consoles. You cannot tell me that Mario Kart 8 looks worse compared to like Rise on the Xbox One, or it looks worse than even Uncharted looks. These games have a style upon themselves that look gorgeous and beautiful. When Mario Galaxy came out for the Wii, it looked just as good as those Xbox 360 games or PS3 games. Like, you couldn't sit there and be like, this is so less powerful. You could tell, yes, it's less powerful, but the art direction and the style and the game itself was so good. It doesn't matter. As long as the thing you're playing can outweigh the power of the console you're playing it on is the way that I kind of feel about it. Will I care if it is between PS3 and PS4? No. If it is PS3 and Xbox 360, I will care. And I do think that that is inappropriate. Being below the PS4...
At this point, yes.
You see, and that's where I'm kind of coming from. If it's a full console generation behind, it's inappropriate to ask your fans to support a full console release. That's the other part where we're kind of sitting. We don't know if this is more a handheld than it is a home console. PS3, that's actually really good for a handheld. And I'm not going to complain about it. If we're looking more home console than handheld, and we're looking at PS3, then I'm kind of disappointed. Does that make sense, Holly? Depending on if it's going to be more handheld or more home console,
it's going to be we're all kind of assuming at this point that it'll be a hybrid. It's probably going to blow our minds and be something completely different. But who knows?
Hybrid is the only thing that will blow my mind. Besides being like a home console, if it is like a legitimate, like, hey guys, you buy this, you put it on your TV, and you never take it out of your home, that would actually surprise me at this point. I have it in my head. I have it in my head. It is a hybrid. That is all it is. Who knows? Maybe we're completely wrong. Nintendo are the crazy toy makers, like Willy Wonka is for candy. So it's probably something we eat and go up to the ceiling with. I don't know. I think that's all I got to say, though. Do you have anything else, final words about that, Holly?
I just have to say that I appreciate that everything that you've said, and appreciate the fact that when you say I'm drinking Nintendo juice, that it's not a bad thing, because I do think about that and think, like, everybody probably thinks I'm a fangirl. Hey!
Oh, you are a fangirl, Holly. I am a fanboy. We have a podcast for an hour where we talk about nothing but Nintendo. And anybody that listens...
And it's not a bad thing.
You are fan people as well, and that's not a negative. Enjoy, embrace, and let your Nintendo flag fly, because it's totally okay.
Aww.
This is the Nintendo Fever Podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. My name is Matt. You can find me on Twitter at OnlyMattDesmond. You can find Nintendo Fever at Nintendo Fever. You can write us an email at the email address podcast@NintendoFever.com. We're going to be having a big bang shavavaganza. That's a word, right? You send us your emails for...
I don't even know what you just said.
I don't know what word it is, but you know, it's a
big... It's like Bushman language.
It's an exciting episode number 75. Send send us your email. You're going to be entered to win. Everybody who entered or sent us a question today, you're entered into that drawing as well. But send us another question, not for another chance to win, but because we want to have so many questions possible for episode number 75. podcast@nintendofever.com is the email address. @onlymattdozen is my Twitter account, and also @NintendoFever is the Twitter handle for Nintendo Fever. And Holly, what is your Twitter handle?
I am @HollyFelmuth, as always.
Remember to find us on iTunes, rate, subscribe, tell a friend about it, also the Google Play Store and YouTube. Just search Nintendo Fever, all one word, on any of those platforms. Subscribe. That helps us a lot. Leave a review of some kind. That helps a ton. And let us know what you think we're doing right, doing wrong, and everything else in between. Hey, guys, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your ears being in your earphones or whatever you're doing. I don't know. Now I'm just rambling. Have a wonderful, wonderful week, guys and gals. And we'll see you when our thumbs are broken from playing video games. Bye.
Talk to you later.